Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Mraz. We're joined by Mr. Jared Arnett right now. Jared is the executive director of Saving Our Appalachian Region, an initiative that was started here just a couple of years ago to help revive eastern Kentucky in the wake of a declining coal industry. And Jared, thanks so much for joining us today on the program.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Well, what can you tell us about the latest with what's happening with SOAR right now?
Well, it's an exciting time right now as we're making plans and beginning to take action on the new asset and infrastructure that's coming across the entire state and starting in the SOAR region first, called Kentucky Wired. And we're one of our strategies over the next 6 to 12 months is to infuse a broadband perspective. So to really begin to think about entrepreneurship, healthcare, education, and what our region looks like with this new opportunity and access to high-speed, affordable broadband and internet access. So this changes the playing field. It changes our competitive advantage and changes our strategy. So we're working with communities on figuring out how do we deliver last-mile fiber to homes and businesses. And then we're talking about community development and how do we leverage this asset to create jobs and economic opportunity right inside our region.
We've spoken about this initiative before, and you've told me you feel like it could be a real difference maker in terms of economic development. And if you would, maybe explain to the folks why you feel that way.
You know, it's I've had several emails from and calls and conversations with local business owners. We got an email early on right before we had the kickoff for Kentucky Wired in August. I got an email from a guy who's trying to run a business out of his home. He does video editing. He works for a company in Arizona, makes good money. But the company in Arizona sends these HD videos to him in his home, and he can download them. But his upload speed right now is capped at 2 megabits per second. And in eastern Kentucky, we're paying about 9 times on average the price per megabit per second for internet. So he's paying extra for it, and his upload speed is only 2 megabits per second. And what it takes him to upload his finished product takes him about 12 hours. And his colleagues and counterparts across the country, it takes 10 minutes. And in this information age of technology that we live in, where everything's about HD video and streaming video and teleconferences, and whether you're doing a startup company for an entrepreneur, it gives you access to a global market rather than just thinking, I've got to go downtown and capture a local opportunity. I can really start a company and address and capture an opportunity that spreads across the country and bring all that money into our region and start a local company. So that's one example. And, you know, he in his email, he said, I cannot afford this rate and cannot compete. I'm going to have to move out of the region. And many of our next generation entrepreneurs are going to be built around tech. And they used to say that technology was a sector of the economy, but now they say it is the economy. No matter what field you're in, whether it's retail, food service, education, technology is a key component of all those sectors. And right now, Kentucky is 50th in the country in available internet speeds or capacity for internet speeds. And that has to be changed. When we get that change, it provides a whole new set of opportunities.
I think, Jared, you bring up a very good point, and one really I hadn't thought about. I thought about this helping startup businesses and perhaps existing businesses. But at the same time, it's also about keeping those existing businesses.
Absolutely. I've had engineering firms who say they are struggling because, you know, they have all these high-definition, large files of plans and diagrams, and they can't get it to customers. You know, they could do business outside the region, but you just can't compete. So this gives us a competitive advantage all the way around. It at least gets us on a level playing field so that we're not disadvantaged. And when we've talked for years in Appalachia about the challenge of infrastructure when it comes to roads and rail and the topography, this levels that out and gives our people an opportunity to make success whatever they want to make of it, which I think is an exciting thing. I've said all along, if we can tear down the barriers to success in our region, then our people will do the rest, and that's what we're trying to do.
I know that there was so much excitement here a couple of years ago when Governor Beshear and Congressman Rogers announced the initiation of SOAR, and there was a lot of buy-in from local governmental and civic leaders. Do you still feel like you have that buy-in or perhaps even increased it?
I think we've increased it. You know, we had in the second summit that was a year and a half later, coming from December of 2013, and we had the second one in May of 2015, still had over 1,300 people who participated, and now we've got a new program called the Kentucky Appalachian Regional Development Fund, which is basically it was legislation that was passed in the last general session that created a state fund in which SOAR becomes the strategic investor and advisor to. So the money stays with the Department of Local Government for the state. But grant applications, SOAR becomes the vehicle for grant applications. So local communities, nonprofits are applying through our organization, and our board's making recommendations on investments that align with the priorities and recommendations this region developed through the initial SOAR startup phase, where they create all these working group reports and plans. And now we have access to some money to work with local governments and nonprofits to implement a lot of that work, and we're getting a lot of traction now. We're getting to work with a lot of these communities and nonprofits because SOAR, we cannot do it. The success of SOAR doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on the governor or the congressman. It depends on local communities taking ownership and saying, we want to be a part of this. What do we need to do? And us being a partner there with them to accomplish impact and help them take action.
In your mind, Jared, is this a game changer too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This creates an arm-in-arm partnership with SOAR and local communities in implementing this large regional vision that was developed. And they said, well, how are you going to do all this? Well, we can't do it alone, but now we've got the opportunity to bring partners in. And SOAR is much bigger. I say all the time, we're a staff of three and a team of thousands. Because so many people have really stepped up and are part of what we're trying to do. And I feel like we've got good momentum right now, and I'm really excited about it.
And you talk about that momentum. Obviously, you're going to be in a situation of seeing Kentucky have a new governor when Matt Bevin takes over here in not too many weeks from now. And what will that do in terms of SOAR? How will this perhaps impact the initiative?
You know, we've got the way our bylaws read, we are an independent nonprofit organization. So we're not a state agency or a federal agency. We're independent. But our bylaws read that the sitting governor and the sitting congressman of the 5th District are our co-chairs. So when Governor Bevin is sworn in on December 8th as Kentucky's next governor, he will become the co-chair with Congressman Rogers on the same day. And that means we have a new leader on our board, but it also means the governor of Kentucky is still on our board, and he is consistently committed to participate and be involved and support our initiatives. I'm excited. Anytime you bring new ideas and perspectives into a board of directors or a team of managers or administration, new ideas and perspectives always create a better outcome. So Governor Beshear and Congressman Rogers, tremendous leadership up front, would not be here without them. But it's our job to work with the sitting state governor, and I know Governor Beshear is going to stay involved. But I'm excited about the future. It's for me, as long as we're relevant and we are having impact and we've got the momentum of the locals, then I'm positive about where we're headed. I'm looking forward to working with Governor Bevin and any ideas he has about our work.
You and I chatted here briefly recently, and you told me that you've talked with Governor-elect Bevin, and you say he's already supportive of the initiative.
He has been, and, you know, we're still waiting to see how all that plays out. He's been on several public media outlets and talking about a support of SOAR and how important action is, and he was at the first SOAR summit, so he's got a good feeling of a good sense of where we've come from. So I really do look forward to that relationship and think it's going to be a positive one. He's in, as you know, he's in a midst of tremendous transition right now, not just for him, but for all of state government as he transitions the leadership team there. So it's going to be a hurry up and wait for a few months, but we've got a lot of programs and work that we're involved in that we're looking forward to continuing.
As you sit today, Jared, and you look at SOAR and where you'd like to go, what's the biggest challenge that you think you're facing?
So for me, it's I think SOAR is it's very at its essence is the entrepreneurial spirit, and as an entrepreneur, you rarely see challenges; you see opportunities. So every time I see a challenge, I think, well, here's an opportunity. But I think that our greatest opportunity and challenge is to connect across such a geography of 54 counties and really get people who are engaged and feel a part and are bought into who we are and what we're trying to do. But I see that as a big opportunity in 2016 because I think we've got some plans on how to do that and to connect people through technology in ways that a development organization has never done before. So we're going to be innovative in what we're going to do in 2016 from that perspective. But the reality of how do you really connect all these different sectors and all these different individuals and across 54 different counties, and we can't do it by physical meetings. So we've got some innovative ideas on what we're going to do in 2016 for people who believe in their community and want to be a part of the SOAR network to be able to join it and be an active participant in the work that we're doing.
Jared, thanks so much for being with us on Front Page.
Thanks for having me.
Again, that's Mr. Jared Arnett. He's the executive director of the initiative known as Saving Our Appalachian or Shaping Our Appalachian Region. I'm Chuck Moraz, host of Front Page. See you next time.